Hey everyone, love the Wonder Women? Can't get enough of us? Do you want our content all day long?
All day?
Well, we can't promise you that, so calm down. But you can still follow the Wonder Women on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook using our handle at Wonder Women Cast for more fun tidbits, insight to our weird brains, and information to satisfy your curious minds.
Yep. And if you like us, please do us three favors.
Please.
Number one,
download our episodes.
That was so aggressive. Number two,
listen and then review. Review, review.
Number three,
share with your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, strangers, enemies. Seriously, everybody.
Just not Chad.
No, not Chad. But seriously, we crave your validation.
Really, we're very needy. Plus, it's the best way to stay on top of everything we do. So follow, share, and talk to us at Wonder Woman Cast. We'd actually enjoy hearing from you.
Thanks a bundle, guys, and keep wondering.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, sweetie, this is a big day. Are you ready for your first shapeshift?
Mom, why are you videotaping this?
Hey, this is important, Peter. I've recorded all of my kids' first transformations, and I'm not missing yours.
Okay. Now grab hold of Spot.
Wait, we're using Spot for this?
Yes. Why did you think we'd let you get a dog?
But, Mom!
Nope. No buts about it. Grab on and suck. Everyone say goodbye to Spot.
Bye, Spot.
Oh, I can do this.
Safety check. Did everybody take off their metal? Don't want any lightning rod accidents here.
Hey, now you're going to feel some tingling. That's the extra energy. Get ready to shoot that off into the sky, just like we practiced.
Okay. It hurts!
That's it, honey. You're doing it. Well done.
Wow, what a bolt. That's my boy.
Now, at this point, you're going to start losing some limbs. For me, it was my arm. But your Aunt May lost her legs first.
Sure did. What? You didn't tell me this was going to happen.
What? Of course we did.
All right, I can see that tail popping out now.
Oh, and there's Samia's.
Aww. And done.
Aw, who's a good boy?
How long are we going to leave him like that before we teach him how to turn back?
Let's give it a couple of weeks. You and I can take that vacation we've been talking about.
Aw, honey.
Dramatic musical intro.
Is a weird place, but what if it was even weirder?
Join us, the Wonder Women,
as we explore the serious answers to your wackiest questions.
Questions like, what if the ocean wasn't salty?
What if clouds were ice cubes?
And what if farts were a harvestable energy source?
Each week, we'll wonder what if, and in the process, we'll find out what really is.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to the Wonder Women. I'm Anna Magic Johnson.
And I'm Werewolf Gang Puck.
And today our wonder is...
What if people could shapeshift?
This one's going to be wild.
With this topic. And I'm so excited we're finally doing it.
You know what I first thought of?
Oh.
Was that comedy show, My Favorite Shapes, by Julio Torres. Remember that?
That is not what I first thought of. I love that. That was weird.
I love that.
That was a very unique brand of humor, and I enjoyed the journey with you.
I don't understand. I thought it was so good.
It's probably one of those things that I would look back on and say, that was super funny, even though in the moment I was like, what? Also, audience, that has absolutely nothing to do with shapeshifting.
Not a single thing.
Traditionally understand it. Yeah, no, I mean, shapeshifting, I'm a big fantasy nerd, as you know, so I love shapeshifting. I love thinking about it. I learned it's called therianthropy or therianthropy or zoanthropy or transmogrification.
Transmogrification.
So,
wow, I haven't heard of those words before.
You know, Wikipedia has all the answers here. Yeah, so Thank you. I mean, there's the Hulk, there's Ant-Man, there's Mystique, so there's like the sci-fi Marvel thing.
There's
all the Animagus in Harry Potter, Professor McGonagall, Sirius Black. I mean, shape-shifting forever. And I tried to dig in the way back, and I was going to come to you with some of like my favorite shape-shifting myths and legends from around the world, but the problem is there are so many.
Yeah.
Every culture, every belief system.
For like all of time. It's so cool that everybody has these thoughts.
I know.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. You're just like sitting around outside looking at the world, wondering what it could be like to be other things.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So the oldest sort of sign of shape-shifting, because there's a few sort of werewolf legends in Greek mythology that folks think sort of spurred werewolf mythology, which, by the way, is very common. Of all the different shape-shifting myths and legends, for some reason, werewolves are very, very popular. I was so confused by that.
Makes you wonder if it's true.
Oh, maybe so. But the oldest sort of thing I found was some cave art in the cave of the Trois Frères, you know, French, in southern France.
Oh, cool.
So this is some very, very old cave art that seems to show a human with sort of like animal wings and like horns. So this is called the Horned God or the Sorcerer, which sort of suggests that people were thinking about human animal mixed metamorphosis transformation, and this would date back to 1300 BC then.
Wow.
Yeah, so
very cool.
So if the, you know, if it's true, and obviously there's no one who's gonna say, oh yeah, that's right, you got it right, scholars, but if it's true, that would be sort of the oldest known instance of human mythology and belief around human animal transformation.
Yeah. That's recording it at least.
Exactly. Yeah.
Recently I was listening to the BBC Earth podcast, which is really good, telling animal people stories. But there was a story about this indigenous group in Western Africa that hunts forest elephants, and they know like the life of elephants so intimately that they believe, like, to hunt them, that they actually, like, the hunter becomes an elephant. So they have this, like, shape-shifting belief that they're living out.
No way!
Which was really hard to wrap my mind around, yeah. But it's more than, like, a hunter getting in the mindset. It's, like, actually part of their belief that they're transforming into an elephant during the hunt.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this, but lycanthropy is a diagnosable clinical medical condition in which people believe they change into a wolf or sometimes other animals. So it's kind of a sub-diagnosis of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. But what I thought was most curious about this is that there's something about this that affects the part of the brain, they think, that holds sort of the blueprint of your body. And so when these people look in the mirror, they actually seem to see themselves as a wolf or with fur.
Oh my gosh.
So it's not just, you know, I'm thinking like a wolf. It's like, no, I actually look at my body and think that I look like a wolf.
Ooh, yeah. That kind of happened in that Hannibal TV show. One of the serial killers they were after, I can't remember his name, but he sort of thought he was like a dragon, I think.
Oh, yeah. The bad guy of the whole third season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
That's right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So
also, Doctor Who. Don't forget Doctor Who.
I was going to say, I was like, I saw Doctor Who references, and I'm going to leave that for Animagic Johnson, because I just know she's going to come to me with some Doctor Who tidbits.
I mean,
here.
First of all, the Doctor themselves takes on an entirely new form every time they regenerate.
Sure.
So instead of dying, they become a totally different person. Still a person, but they change form completely.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's the Zygons, which are one of the alien races, and they replicate the appearance of others, so they're super tricky.
Oh.
And spooky. I think I've mentioned before on the show, but the Rebel Flesh, mm-hmm. which is just a vat of flesh that can be programmed. It's programmable flesh, so it can take on the form of anyone.
I mean, just re-listened to that episode where you first talked about the Rebel Flesh. Oh, it was a good one, guys. Listen to our Clone Babies episode.
There's only a few thoughts rolling around in my brain at any time.
We do come back to many of the same themes.
Yeah.
I, for the record, didn't really talk about humans morphing into other humans. I really sort of focused on the human to animal shapeshift, which may have been a gap in my thinking, but I clearly like animals better than I like people, so I wanted to go
Yeah, understandably. Well, should we talk about some animals?
Yes, then? Let's do that.
Okay. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I mean, obviously, I am obsessed with octopi, so you could consider some octopus to sort of have transformation shape-shifting abilities,
mm-hmm.
which is like they can change their texture and their shape a lot and their color. So
yeah, I think that's one of the best examples of animals getting as close to shape-shifting, quote-unquote, as we can get. And there's one octopus in particular called the mimic octopus. So I think all octopus can mimic shapes and colors and textures, but this one is like particularly good at it. And it's been documented to mimic 13 different species so far.
Oh, wow.
Including like lionfish, sea snakes, jellyfish, sea anemones. And it doesn't just mimic the way they look, but also the way they behave too.
Oh,
and it
wow.
can change the behavior to fit certain circumstances. So
oh,
if
crazy.
It's like wants to be in a sort of like combative situation or like a reproductive sexy dance situation, it knows how to do these different things.
Yeah, that is cool.
I know. Also, remember my octopus teacher?
Yeah.
Oh my god, the saddest movie ever made in the history of movies. I cried for days. I would just start like weeping.
I just can't handle animals dying. I can watch all sorts of action movies where people die left and right, and I'm like, oh, cool action. But one octopus dies, and I'm like, nah.
Oh my god, it was just so heart wrenching. Ugh.
I know.
But yeah. So octopus, amazing. Also, butterflies.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Any insects really go Obviously. Through crazy body transformations.
Yeah.
But butterflies, I'm kind of fixed on right now because it's monarch season again. And they're coming through the yard. And it's just crazy. They go from like this giant, fat, striped black, white, and yellow caterpillar to then this tiny little chrysalis. Like, it's so much smaller than the caterpillar wow. was. And it's just this beautiful, like, pale green little gem with gold speckles on it,
oh.
which I learned are ports for oxygen.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Huh. And then from that emerges this, I mean, inside is basically turning to goo. Not completely. It's maintaining, like, the trachea for breathing and some spots for like waste release, and it still has a little beating heart and some neural functions, but the rest turns to goo pretty much. Ugh. And then a butterfly emerges.
That is bizarre and crazy and wonderful. Like, nature just blows my mind.
I know. And that's just a little, like a little insect. That's so much cooler than us. Like, that's so complex.
I know. What if we, could do that as people? That should be one of our wonders.
I
what if we could like crawl back into like this like uterus thing and completely transform our second?
Interesting. Ugh. What about the mothers though?
I know, that would be.
That's terrible.
I'm going down a rabbit hole. Quick.
I know. What I loved learning about the butterflies, though, so until recently, most scientists and like biology textbooks taught and thought that they just turned completely to goo. But then somebody used MRI scanning to see that they maintain some of like the key structures that I mentioned, like breathe and whatever, the important things. So it's not just like completely goo. You know, there's a little bit of order to it. And also they learned that they retain some neurons because they did tests to prove that caterpillars and that butterflies still retain some of the memories
what?
From when they were caterpillars, which is so precious and amazing that they can, like, there's little memories still floating around in there.
Well, that's good to know because that is pertinent to some of our wondering later about human shape-shifting, so that's very good to know there's a natural precedent there. I also read a little bit about... Go ahead, do it.
Okay, look, one more thing about insects that help this happen. So they have what's called imaginal discs, which I love that
imaginal?
Term.
Imaginal?
Yeah, imaginal discs. And so these discs undergo metamorphosis, and they're like hard-coded to become specific parts of the external final body that the insect is going to have. So like the head, the wings, the legs, whatever, they are in specific positions, and they're going to turn. Each disc has a purpose. And so scientists have done experiments, which you've probably like seen in biology classes growing up, reading books or something, where they can move these discs around and even put them into different species, and they'll still make the same thing.
Whoa.
So like weird experiments where they'll have legs coming out of their heads or like wings coming out of their butt, which isn't very nice, but just shows how like hard-coded these cool little discs.
They're like little computer chips or programs.
Yeah.
Or just like little flesh robots. Everyone is a flesh robot. All the animals. Who's the programmer? I'm going to start a sect that like God is a programmer, and it's going to appeal to all the like disenchanted millennials of the world.
Oh, I bet it exists already.
It probably does. Yeah.
Yeah. We all just live in
I just got to go find
computer game, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
that's true. I did come across that actually. Oddly enough, in research for metamorphosis, like, who are lizards and the science behind your fake reality? I was like, oh dear.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I also thought the life cycle of a jellyfish was really interesting for this. I mean, obviously nothing is like shape-shifting the way we're talking about for this wonder, but they have a really weird life phase. So they start as this stalked, what's called a polyp phase, where they're attached to like a coastal reef. And then their other phase is the medusa or jellyfish phase, where they just float among the plankton. And so the medusa is the reproductive stage. And it has eggs that get fertilized, and then they turn into these little free swimming larvae. And the larvae eventually settle to the seafloor and then attach to something, and they become polyps, and it starts all over. But there's also a way the jellyfish can like circumvent that process. So in immature jellyfish, they can actually like have polyps just bud off of them. Which is just, I mean, it's not shape-shifting, it's asexual reproduction. But it's insane that they can do both, and they're not like...
Jellyfish are so weird. Bizarre.
Isn't that crazy?
Like the number of times that we've brought up jellyfish in our wonders and been like, "What? Look at what jellyfish do."
They're just wild.
Yeah, they are weird, weird creatures. Okay. So there's things that come close, but there's no animal that could be said to shapeshift.
Yeah, that like we know of. Maybe it's just walking of. Among us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The next thing I want to talk about is the physics of shapeshifting, because this is where most of my brain went. So is there anything else about shapeshifting?
No, let's get into the physics. I probably have more questions than thoughts. Let's do it.
I was not expecting this wonder to take me down a total rabbit hole of quantum physics, I have to admit. So I'm going to just like share my misery with you and start off with a pop quiz of nonsense quantum physics words that I found that still make no sense to me. You ready?
Oh, guess what they mean. Yep. Okay, let's do it.
Define a muon.
Can you spell the word?
M-U-O-N. Muon. Or muon. I really don't know.
Muon? I think this is the term for a cow's yawn.
That's way better than the actual definition. So a muon is a subatomic particle similar to an electron, but it's got way more mass and it's very unstable. So it's a negatively charged subatomic particle. It's super mass-y.
Interesting.
Question mark? I hope we have some physicist follower. Okay, the next word is...
Surely we do. We have billions of followers.
So many.
It's going to be at least one physicist in there.
The odds of a physicist being among them are so high. Okay, the next one is positron.
Positron. Is it just a positively charged subatomic particle?
Nice. Yes. Very good. You are halfway right. It is the antimatter counterpart of an electron. So it has the same mass and charge as an electron, but positive.
Oh. What's the difference between that and a proton?
I have no idea. I don't know what antimatter is. What is this stuff? I don't know.
Oh, this is painful. I know. Let's get it over with.
And that's as far as I got. So yeah, quantum physics is confusing.
And oh my God.
I know almost less than I did before. So this is a precursor to say, for all the actual physicists out there, forgive us if we just stick to the very basics about mass and energy when we talk about the physics. Yeah.
Most I got into physics was E equals MC squared.
Right. Which is?
Okay, which is important because to increase or decrease mass, we have to release or absorb energy.
Right. Yes.
And so in terms of shifting our shape, that could have some large implications.
Yes.
Luckily, other people have wondered this about shapeshifting.
Oh, they have?
So there was an interesting bit of math in an example somebody gave of saying, okay, what if like a 132-pound person wanted to transform into a puppy?
A puppy.
You would have to reduce your mass by, in this example, it was 88 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Which would generate, through E equals MC squared, 160 megatons of energy.
Whoa.
Which might like not have significance hearing that number, but they said, for perspective, that's about 17 times the amount of energy released from the largest nuclear bomb ever detonated.
What?
Yeah, so oh my just God. To go from person to puppy could do a lot of damage.
So I knew that it would, I was getting to the point of like, that's a tremendous amount of energy. I did not understand this scale.
Yeah, thank God somebody did that work for us, because we would have gotten there. So yeah, I mean, in turn, once we get into the wondering, where would the energy go? How'd we get energy back?
Yeah.
That's something to keep in mind.
I have a note. Would we have to be basically mini nuclear reactors? So it sounds like, yes.
All right, sounds like we're ready to wonder. So should we take a quick break?
Let's take a break.
Yoodle-hoo, a hearty garden and good day. I want to tell you the good news about the Swedish bank for Chrysalis Storage and Security for the rich and famous. The only place the world's uberty-duberty rich and famous trust enough to keep their chrysalis safe and sound. If you flirgin' me this way, you can see our platinum vault. No way any sneaky crystal thieves are getting in here. No siree, we keep your chrysalis locked up nice and turgledy tight. And over here, you can see a top burglary security camera for any appendage you may have, finger, hoof, paw, or claw. And our loopery laser beam technology will fry anybody that gets too close to your precious change sack into a hurdy-gurdy crisp. So hurdy hop on that personal jet, flapping you over to Sweden, and pick out your vault today.
Okay, welcome back.
Welcome back to a shape-shifted world.
Yeah, shape-shifted. All right, Anna Magic Johnson. So, if I may, I would like to propose that we start with the question, what would you do with all that extra mass to, like, go from big to small? So from human to puppy or human to mouse, how would that work?
Yeah, I mean, this one seemed, until I learned about how much energy it takes, I thought maybe you just poop a lot.
Okay, just so you propose
move
like,
it out
of
your body.
Of okay.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, this direction seemed easier to me, aside from the atomic bomb,
the massive
energy
explosion.
Release.
The reveal.
Yeah, like a ton of gas, a large poo.
Okay.
I don't know. I was also thinking it would be easier to keep it in a, so maybe not gas or poo, to be in a form that's like easily accessible to reverse it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure exactly what that would mean. Like, would you have a little baggie that's attached to you?
Right, like a mass bubble, like a flesh
bubble?
Yeah. Maybe. So it could also be that you just don't get rid of the mass, right? That you just become a really, really dense dog or a really dense mouse. So like your mass stays constant regardless of the shape that you take on.
But a lot of like other physics implications for that, right?
So there's the science, the guy
I am a dog, but I cannot move.
Right. Like the guy who advised on the science of Ant-Man was like, you would have trouble breathing and your body would break down if you retained your mass. And that's where muons come in, right? Because muons have more mass than electrons. He's like, well, if you converted to muons instead of electrons, you could sustain maybe having more mass, except you wouldn't last long because your body would decay very quickly.
So if there's like quantum physics, antimatter things going on that we don't understand, that could be a loophole to get through.
Yeah, I mean, which is like what Ant-Man did. And they're just like, the Pym particle solves everything. And we're like, okay.
No.
So if you had the Pym particle, suddenly it would work. Okay, but so we don't. So we think you'd have to get rid of the mass somehow. I mean, yeah, it's like, do you store it in just like this fleshy blob that you just pack with you? A suitcase or put in a safe place? And then you have to come like eat it or absorb it again? Because I don't know if you could poop out 80. Maybe you would lose all your water. You'd start sweating.
Sweat it out.
Yeah, and you just like leave a desiccated puddle behind. Yeah. Oh, which would be horrific to watch. First someone starts shriveling up, drying out, and then they shrink. Which I guess then would be easy to replace because you'd just have to drink a bunch of water to go big again.
But you also have to change... How are you changing what's happening in your body, though?
Like science. The Pym particle. It would also be painful, right? Because your bones would have to dissolve, and like your skin and like your nerves.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Doctor Who regenerate? It's a sad, sad thing to watch.
Oh, really?
And he's in a lot of pain, yeah.
Oh, that's awful. They show that? That's messed up.
Yeah. Oh, and maybe there'd be like, what if you could have lightning come out of your body?
Oh, yeah.
Like ton of energy, and you could sort of direct it up in a hopefully less destructive way than like a bomb going off.
Before I learned it would be as much energy as like a nuclear bomb, I thought, you just leave a blast radius around you. You'd explode.
There'd
be a lot of thermal light energy, but lightning is a better alternative to channel it.
Yeah. Okay. I like that idea.
Well,
difficult for planes.
Right.
Do I have clearance to drive through here?
I wonder how much lightning it would take to release this amount of energy bigger than the known nuclear explosions of the world. But
yeah,
some energy scientists can tell us that. The only other question I had is, would there be a way that we would have adapted to store the energy in our bodies instead? And this led me to discover that there are some form of bacteria that actually store and generate electricity.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So pretty sort of new-ish set of studies, a small number that I came across, that there's a one or two species of bacteria, especially that they found, that can produce electricity. And then also they've discovered that they can store it. So maybe we just have tons of these gut bacteria. These bacteria in our guts, rather. And rather than exploding, we would just harness all of that and stick it into these bacteria. I don't know if bacteria can store that much energy, but maybe they would have adapted to do that in this
shape-shifting
world.
Different kinds.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that idea. I mean, that, you know, the details aside, it makes sense that that would be an easy way to access it and be less destructive. Maybe early on, people were using lightning in a more pre-form of humans. And then we were like, bacteria, this symbiotic relationship like someone, we've developed works someone better.
Someone some seaweed or something, because one of them is like a bacteria found in the sea. Granted, I think deep undersea, but again, details aside.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, so okay, so either you lose a bunch of mass, and then we have to then answer the complimentary question, where do you get it again? But that's for the other side. Or you carry that mass with you. You emit lightning is a productive way to channel this energy, or you store that energy inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lots of options for safe Great. And sustainable shape-shifting.
Yeah, that was easy. Why haven't we invented this
yet? Science. Why haven't we invented the ability to shape-shift? Okay, so let's go to the other side. If you wanted to go back from a mouse to a human and you needed all that mass again, where mm-hmm. would it come from?
Okay. So if we're sticking with the lightning theory, we could have a way to generate lightning, oh. you know, like metal rods or something inside of us makes yeah. us super conductive only when we want to be. That'd probably be hard.
Well, because we're not just talking about we're not just talking about having like enough energy to like have the energy for the transformation, like calories. I mean, what we're talking about is converting energy back into mass,
mm-hmm.
which to me matters as a difference because that apparently is really, really hard to do, and like yeah. we haven't yet managed to do that in any sort of significant way as humans. And we've had to use, like, the collider and that whole realm and lasers and gold, tons of energy just to produce a couple of protons to convert Ugh. Light into protons. So we don't actually really know the details of converting energy back into mass, but it seems like it is a huge effort.
Yeah.
So, but if we did it, we would be taking that lightning and turning it into body. I mean, that would, like... reverse communion.
What if we had a little like umbilical cord lightning rod that took the lightning and made it into little food?
Yeah. Or I was also thinking in terms of getting that energy, would you suck it out of the earth somehow? So would like you have
Thanos to... didn't Thanos do that, making every who did that? They did something and then everything familiar. Around them sort of just died. They like yeah. sucked what up all the energy, that? Life.
That sounds familiar. But yeah, that's basically what I'm envisioning, right? Where you suck it out of the earth, out of the plant life. The thermal energy gets sucked out so it suddenly becomes really cold, like snow and ice start to form. So basically like a reverse explosion.
Hmm.
But again, the scale of the energy you'd need aside, because that is just insurmountable. So we could mm-hmm. suck it from lightning. I like that because it's less destructive to the environment.
Right.
Look at you coming up with solutions.
I mean, the other thing is if we could just have a crazy fast metabolism where we're trying to shapeshift and be able to consume huge amounts of food yeah. and quickly turn that into what we need.
Or conversely, on the other side, it just takes a long, long time, right? Like you have to eat as much mass. Like, if you wanted to go from person to elephant, you'd have to eat an elephant's worth of mass.
Oh, and you're just, like, slowly working yeah. on it.
And you're slowly,
hey, I see your elephant ears came in.
Over time, becoming an elephant. I don't know how long you think it would take to eat an elephant's mass worth of food, but I feel like it would be a couple weeks of, like, constant eating.
I feel like more.
Months? I have no idea.
It's a lot of food.
Okay, well, maybe
how
it would
long
take
does
you
it take you
more?
To eat 1,000 pounds of food?
How many? This is okay. If you, how much food do you think you eat a day? 5 pounds?
Maybe. I don't know. So, let's say 3 to 5 pounds
a day. Okay, so what is that like? A year? It would take you a year to eat an elephant. How many?
An elephant weighs up to 15,000 pounds. How do you, what do you think? 2 weeks?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So,
but on the smaller side, an African elephant is 5,000 pounds.
5,000. Okay.
5,000 to 15,000 pounds.
And if you eat 5 pounds a day, it's a
maybe
thousand
we'd just be little dwarf baby elephants.
Maybe. Yeah. Or, so
Okay. And then you'd have to be so committed. I mean, yeah. Maybe we'll get into this, but like, you'd have to be like, okay, 5 years from now, I want to be an elephant.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a long journey to go through and be dedicated to. Yeah.
Or maybe you do it in stages, right? Like first you become a deer and then you can work your way up to like buffalo and then you can work your way up to rhino. So, I mean, you know, you would, if you wanted to be an elephant in 5 years, maybe it's not just like I live 5 years as like this weird pseudo human elephant hybrid blob, but I can transition to a series of progressively bigger animals over time.
Yeah, that's also weird.
Or, I mean, if your mass stays consistent, would you just be like a very flimsy elephant? Pseudo holographic? You would just be able to do the bones and the skin. Oh, you have nothing inside.
And yeah, like maybe you'd be really frail. Would, like you change your density and you're just... Yeah.
A gust of wind.
Your cells are really far apart from each other.
An elephant balloon instead of an elephant. Hmm.
Yeah. That seems less likely.
Which seems super sustainable. Yeah. The only other thing is, like we talked about a little bit earlier, would you have to sort of suck enough of the energy and mass out of the creature? Like you would have to go up to an elephant and vampirically absorb all their energy and mass in order to become an elephant.
Ooh. You know, that seems sad, but maybe a better, more likely option.
Yeah. Than eating 5,000 pounds.
To vampire it out. And then we just assume you have... We're assuming the biology part is in place to be able to move cells around, change cell types, color, everything. Yeah.
We're assuming that our cells shapeshift as much as they need to.
But. Yeah. So I'm thinking, we have for the energy part, lightning or the electric bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Or your little
gut. For the mass piece, probably being vampires.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like the most instantly gratifying solution.
And it kind of makes sense, too, because let's assume by being a vampire, you also are getting the DNA blueprint you need to make it happen.
Right. Just really quick, I guess on big to small, I mean, you could just leave a portion of, like, your mass behind in the form of, like, sort of a desiccated corpse, right? So, like, if you convert from a human to a mouse, you just... take as much mouse matter as you need, and then your, like, shell is left behind.
Yeah, you've molted.
Yeah.
I also, in the same example, I was reading about the human to dog, they recommended how lizards can, like, drop their tails if they need to.
Oh, yeah.
Just being able to leave, like, part of your body behind. Yeah, so similar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. See? Food chain. And then all the cannibals are like, yay!
See? Food chain.
Circular economy of cannibals and shapeshifters. Oh, okay.
Perfect.
All right. So I feel like we have some, you know, reasonable, lots of assumptions-ridden physics answers.
Definitely.
That would all work. Totally ignoring the biology of it.
Come at us, Chad. Try to poke a hole in this.
Deal with it.
You dick.
Biology, we're just saying it magically happens. I didn't even want to go there. So I have questions. Then I started to think, like, okay, if you change the size of your body, the size of your brain changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens to your sense of self, your, like, intellectual capabilities, your IQ, your memories, if your brain changes, right? Like, if you were to take all the data on your laptop and put it onto a USB, you'd have to delete something. It depends on the USB, but you get where I'm going. So,
what kind of USB are we talking about?
Details. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you think you would retain all of your human intelligence and sense of self as you changed? Or would you have sort of be forced by the physical limitations of the animal brain that you're in to be as intelligent as that animal?
That's what I was wondering too, because how do you, I mean, not just the size of your brain changing, but the type of brain that you have, like right. entire portions of your brain right. that we have that, I don't know, you don't want to call them lesser species, but, you know, an insect might not have.
Yeah.
What do you, yeah, what happens? And can you go back? And,
exactly.
I don't know, like Harry Potter. Okay, werewolf man. He's like actually behaving like a werewolf yeah. with no control.
Yeah.
Yeah, a wolf. Not.
I mean, wolves don't act like werewolves, so it's fair to say werewolf.
Yeah.
yeah.
But still had like a, oh, I don't know. Right. Yeah, there was a reason to be able, like there was a way to come out of
come
that.
Come back, right? And so that yeah. was my question. Like, how do you retain enough of your core sense of like self and cognition to not just be like, oh, I'm a butterfly. That's you never knew that you were once human. So your sort mm-hmm. of comments about the butterfly and the caterpillar sort of maybe provide an answer, right? If there's just enough of like your core DNA hardwired into something,
mm-hmm.
that can stay consistent and you abandon other parts of your brain. Like maybe I was thinking you would have to sacrifice a lot of memories to be able to move to a different brain capacity.
Oh, yeah.
And so yeah. you would like go from human to mouse. And then when you went back to human, you would just lose a lot of the memories you had in your, like the last time you were a human.
Oh.
Which would be sad, right?
Yeah, that would be really sad. Oh, but you know, what if we did have a, okay. Oh, I'm trying to think. Okay, now I think I'm taking a step back. Mm. What if we used a chrysalis?
Yeah.
Because uh-huh. then if we were goo and then the chrysalis was attached to maybe like the earth, yeah. either draw energy from it or expel lightning from the top.
Oh man, these lightning zapping chrysalis everywhere.
Yeah. And like oozing goo out if you're needing to reduce your mass. Yeah. Oh, okay. That could also be an option. But yes, back to the brain.
Well, and then maybe yeah. like that's where you can, like, are you thinking you could store stuff, right? Like everyone has a chrysalis that's theirs and specific to them that they just keep coming Ooh. Back to.
Yeah.
And like there's all your memories are stored, all the like key neural capabilities that you can't take with you into a different form. It's all like, oh, so maybe people are born in this chrysalis.
Ooh.
And the chrysalis yeah. is actually your core identity and who you are. And the yeah. form, your physical form, is just how you choose to walk around in the world.
I like that. Yeah. Mm. Another thought I had when I was doing research, but then I forgot, was what if, like, your house was where your family stored the stuff? So, yes. Yeah. Okay. Chrysalis. Okay.
Okay. Ooh. Weird. So, we're, like, born in this, like, bio goo pouch this thing.
Chamber. Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're like the rebel flesh.
Yeah. Exactly. And how vulnerable you would be, right? Like, you would have to put that in a very protected, secure place. Because if someone found mm-hmm. that and destroyed it, you'd be stuck in your form.
Yeah, which I saw this weekend. So there were two monarchs that emerged, one beautiful chrysalis that's working on it, and then I found one that didn't make it. I don't know if something ate it, but it had a hole in it. And there was like the imprint of the wings on the outside.
Sad, but
and it was just this brown goo. Yeah.
Ew. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh, this is going a whole different sci-fi-y weird direction. Ooh, it's creeping me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. The only other thing is, you know, octopus, like, have neural, like, each of their arms is like a mini brain because a lot of their, like,
oh, right.
neural capacity is stored there. So maybe that's how we would just decentralize our brain and our neural capacity.
So I like that.
If you're a mouse, your whole body is your brain. And you know,
yeah.
And so you
okay.
can retain
I could see that. Yeah. Oh, I was listening to a story about an octopus, and these researchers think that since their little tentacles each sort of act like an independent brain, that some of them are like more shy and some are more outgoing. It's not crazy to have a like shy arm and a wild.
Oh my gosh. Octopi? Are the most fascinating creatures, and jellyfish are like the most mesmerizingly fascinating things to me. I love it. I love thinking about them until I get stressed. It's like thinking about space and time and octopi right up there. Yeah. That's kind of where the physical questions for me about shape-shifting was like about as much as I could handle in terms of like...
That's enough for one episode, I think.
Yeah. But basically, I don't know. My conclusion was like, it would be so... There's so many barriers to shape-shifting, like the energy consumption. You'd have to like shoot lightning or it would take 5 years. Like, I feel like shape-shifting would be one of those things that even if we could do it, there'd be a lot of really good reasons not to.
Yeah, that was my question, was why would we do it?
Why would we do it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe it would be sort of like a choice to leave your life, right? Like if you just really couldn't handle being a person, you know, you could just go, I want to be a dog. I want to go be a dolphin. So maybe it's just like a once in a lifetime thing that you do. Or maybe like part of the culture is like, hey, to build a more empathetic race of people or species, each person spends 2 years of their life as one animal, right? And it's sort of like your coming of age process.
That's cool. That's kind of like, it's not really, but what's that show / book with the little animal soul that you are like connected to?
The Golden Compass? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Your Damon?
Yeah. What if you have a little like soul creature that you need to turn into? Also, what would that mean for hunting and stuff and being vegetarian? Yeah. Like, if you could potentially be shooting a morphed person,
right?
Would you do it? Some people, I'm sure, would, but...
Yeah, some people definitely would. I mean, this did make me curious, too, about if you...
Maybe just don't shapeshift into a dairy cow.
Well, I did wonder, like, if people collectively as a society experienced life as an animal, we'd have so much richer understanding of animal sentience and like how animals experience the world. And so maybe, I mean, people are shitty to people, so even understanding the human experience doesn't make us like be better to people, but I could see it us having like, because we know just how much cows experience the world, we're not going to put them in quite as shitty conditions. Or like, because we understand how sentient whales are, we're going to treat them differently and interact with them differently. Maybe we'd have like diplomats. You'd have like a
human. I was just going to say something like that. Like if you wanted to understand like, oh, before we, I don't know, mine this part of the ocean, let's understand how it actually impacts animals.
Yeah.
And then you could like really get into environmental impact assessments.
Also, like, can you imagine a United Nations of species? Like how much more difficult global politics would be if you're like trying to balance all these different country interests, but also the whales' interests and the whales' interests across countries and the German owls versus the American owls. Like,
and who has to like be stuck being a cockroach or something?
Oh, you know, when the nuclear explosion happens, if we all just turn into cockroaches, we'd survive it.
I mean, you could survive a lot of situations with this ability. Like, oh, there's a fire, let me be a bird and fly away.
Yeah. Or maybe I can also see this sort of being used for sinister purposes. Like,
of course,
the food supply is low in this region, so we're gonna force all the poor people to transform into rats. We're gonna like force transformation on people for whatever nefarious purpose that you might want, whether it's reduce competition for resources, like torture. You want to eat them, but you don't want to eat people, but you'll feel better if they're cows when you eat them. Oh, dang.
Yeah, you could pull off a heist by like turning into a bug, crawling into the vault.
Yeah, it might take you 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So, okay. Yet again, I think we're like dark, dismal, pessimistic people because we often go to how things could be used.
That's true. Yeah.
I also thought it would be a nightmare to raise children that could shapeshift.
Oh my gosh.
Because they probably wouldn't know how to do it. They'd sort of be clumsy about it. They'd do it without rhyme or reason.
And yeah, so you like hear something break and your kid is just flopping around with gills. Yes. You have to like scoop it up and throw it in the bathtub until yeah. they can figure out how to come back.
Or
it'd be dangerous.
It would be super dangerous and it'd be very difficult to keep track on them. So maybe children would be tethered to their mom, or like physically tethered with like the umbilical cord terrible. Doesn't get cut or something. Yeah.
Ugh. No, thank you.
I know. Or I was thinking like maybe there'd be some sort of electrochemical signal that we all emit, like sort of like a biological tracker. So our parents could always find us no matter what type of animal we were.
Mm.
Yeah.
We could all yeah. only shapeshift at the same time of year or something? Like when there's a meteor shower or something very like energy,
or like a thunderstorm, whatever. Like electromagnetic storm. Or
yeah.
something.
So then you have like a plan in place and you're like, when we get to the right time, this is what I'm going to go do.
Yeah. Could be. And then, oh my God, if you missed the storm, like you woke up late and you're in your form for another year.
That'd be so sad.
That would be sad. I also think we just have to get over the notion of privacy, because if anyone at any time could be any type of animal,
mm-hmm.
it'd be so easy to infiltrate your home. Like you could be the ant in my kitchen. I would squash you, so that would be risky. Like, it'd just be so much easier to eavesdrop on private conversations and...
True. Yeah. Also, just like having clothes, if you shapeshift, you'd yeah. be like, well, I guess, I mean, the show, the Strange World of Alex Mack or something like that, where she turns into the metal puddle, which I also think we spoke about recently.
We did, yes.
But she shapeshifts with clothes.
Yeah, I just think we just would be naked. But again, it depends, right? If it's like, if it takes a long time or if it's like a time-bound thing, we'd still have clothes. But if you could shapeshift at any time with relative ease, you're just emitting lightning or storing bacteria, clothes would be nonsense. It'd be nonsensical to wear clothes.
Definitely. Even if it took a long time, you don't want to have to keep changing your clothing size to
exactly.
fit. As you slowly become an elephant, which I think we've all felt like over the last year and a half.
That's true. I have definitely shapeshifted.
Slowly becoming an elephant.
People be like, wow, you gained a lot of weight. I'm like, no, I'm on my shapeshifting
journey. I'm working on something here.
I like that a lot better. I also think there'd be this whole sort of like, just in the same way that there are parts of our society that have, like, chosen to be recluses or chosen to, like, or, like, they're furries or whatever, I think there'd be a whole part of society that would choose to stay as animals and that would just reject being human. And so I think there'd just be this whole, like, anthropological social study about why are these people choosing to be animals instead of humans. And I feel like if we're in like 2021 with people as being like anxiety and stressed and like disenchanted about the fate of the world, there'd be like this massive exodus of people who just turned into animals and didn't turn back.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see that. I could also see governments incentivizing people to stay as animals or being really fucked up and destroying your chrysalis so you can't go back.
Exactly. And that... Oh my gosh. So if we're going with that chrysalis idea, the whole notion of like home security and warfare, like would society store all their chrysalis in like a bunker in the center of their castle?
And like some weird dystopian future thing. Yeah.
And how big is your chrysalis? It has to be big enough for you to fit into it. So it's not like you can just carry it around.
Yeah. You'd probably spend a lot of time like, finding a safe place, protecting it, coming back and checking on it. So you're probably not using it that often or doing anything too crazy, because there's always this risk of dying in your chrysalis or having something happen to your chrysalis while you're gone. You have to be pretty strategic.
I feel like there'd be two modern, like, economies. there'd be the whole like Swiss banking of chrysalis where you can like pay for a really fancy super high security vault for your chrysalis. And there'd be like chrysalis movers, like specialized like moving companies that will safely transport your chrysalis to your new home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if a mover showed up and cracked your chrysalis?
Oh my God. Right. Like that would be irreplaceable. You would, you would have to pay these people so much money and like they'd have to be super highly trained. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there'd be like DIY chrysalis movers. And they'd, like, a bunch of people would die because they, like, tried to move their chrysalis without the right equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe nobody would move unless you were willing to...
bubble you live in and stay close to. Willing to
wander far afield from your chrysalis. And,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It would be, like, this really epic romantic gesture to be, like, will you protect my chrysalis? Be, like, the most, the utmost symbol of trust.
And be, like, nah.
No, I don't want that responsibility. Yeah,
no, thank you.
Shoot. Anna Magic Johnson, like... we have made a journey.
Yes, Werewolf Gang Puck. We sure have. Yeah, I mean, we made it all the way from... Let's do a quick wrap-up.
Yeah.
We figured out the physics. Mm-hmm. We've got lightning. We've got electric bacteria. We're maybe harnessing big, energetic, natural storms and things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Avoiding the mass part. Nuclear destruction, basically, at all costs.
Yes. Maybe we're doing it in a chrysalis. Mm-hmm. That seems to make a lot of sense. We're eating a lot of food, potentially, to increase our mass, or we're just vampiring the things that we want to become.
It could either take 5 years, or it could happen instantaneously.
Mm-hmm. We're splicing just enough DNA from what we want to become to help us make the change without losing our human connection.
And we're not having weird human-animal babies.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just creepy.
And we've come up with chrysalis banks, castles, vaults, and moving companies to help us get around.
We have a thriving shape-shifting economy all mapped out. And shape-shifting diplomacy. We talked about the United Species Nations... liaisons between species, world peace.
Yep. Contracting firms to learn about environmental impact.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
If I had to choose, you know, I'd try out this shape-shifting society.
Oh, yeah, how it goes. Sure.
Okay. Well, does that wrap up our wonder, Anna Magic Johnson?
Yes, it does, Werewolf Gang Puck.
Well done. I think we nailed it. I think we have flawless, chink-proof suppositions here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Nobody can come at us. All right, we should say.
Yeah, sit your ass down, Chad. We are just doing a disclaimer. We're not scientists. This isn't real science, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a few things we were able to wrap our heads around. We reached the limits of what we can learn about in physics.
Yes. No, muons, too hard. Yeah. This disclaimer absolves us from any criticism. That's the rules.
That's all.
Okay, and we will leave you all with these final words. I'm on the hunt for who I've not yet become.
Ooh,
yeah. Moody.
So keep deep and moody.
Hunt, keep your hunt going. Discover yourself and shape-shift into them.
Thanks so much to our producer, Shiftester Salone, and to the Metamorph Philharmonic Orchestra for providing this week's music.
And thank you for joining us today.
That's all for now.
See you next time.
Bye.
In a different form. I will be lying next time. Mm. Rawr.
Join us next time on The Wonder Women, where we'll explore wonders like, what if poop could talk?
What if humans were like jellyfish?
And what if you had shy fingers?
Until next time, keep wondering.